This has kind of been the epitome of me starting fall, is in what happened on Saturday morning. Friday night, I went to sleep, and I had a dream that I was getting ready for church. And I was kind of like pacing, and there was like people like, come on, we got to get going. And it was like, and then I woke up, and it was like, I don't know, 7:30 in the morning. And I just woke up, and I'm like, I'm late for church. And I walked into the bathroom, I'm like, I'm late. And I was ready to start calling people. Then I realized it was only Saturday. It's only Saturday. I was like, oh man, I'm tired. I need more sleep this fall. But we're getting there. We're getting there. It is so good to see you all this morning here. I know some of you have come back from being away all summer. I see some faces I haven't seen for 8 weeks, and I hope that you had a great summer. Some of you are here, and it is your very first time walking in these doors. I met a couple last week who was their first time. So if you're first time today, just we hope that you feel a sense of home and welcome. Either through what is taking place up here or even through donuts this morning. But we just hope that you feel a sense of like, hey, I could belong here. And maybe you're here just either like you're a follower of Jesus or you're checking out faith to say like, is this something that I want to follow and something I want to check out more? And we hope that God speaks to you and speaks to all of us here this morning. As Michelle said earlier, we've always since day one been about community within here, getting to know each other and kind of do life together, as well as community serving our community. It's been a huge part of our DNA at Yorkson. In all of this, from day one as well, it's always been to be apprenticing our lives to Jesus. That as we grow, as we grow up, and as we get older, that we would become more and more like people who see the world like Jesus sees it today. That's our hope and desire. And so that is actually why we're going into this brand new 12-week series this fall called Freedom. Is to continue to see our lives not as independent, fragmented, broken, good, what all of those things, but it's to align ourselves to be apprentices of Jesus. Freedom. I don't know how you've experienced freedom lately. In South Africa, Nelson Mandela was arrested on August 5th, 1962, and given a life sentence for resisting the government apartheid system of racial segregation. He spent 27 years, that's 9,855 days, for those of you who want to be more specific. Can you imagine those many days on an island, in prison, forced to do backbreaking labor in a limestone quarry? His prison cell was so small that he could barely stretch out on the floor after grueling days of work. To be honest, it's impossible to begin to fathom what toll that would have taken on Mr. Mandela, both physically and emotionally. Can you imagine almost 10,000 days, not only in captivity, but doing backbreaking work and coming back to a cell that barely fits you to stretch out? And yet, even in those unbearable conditions, Nelson Mandela said this. He said, I never lost hope that this great transformation would occur. It always seems impossible until it's done. Nelson Mandela was released February 27th, 1990. 9,855 days later, his shackles were taken off and that door was opened and he walked into freedom. You might be wondering, why are we doing a series on freedom this fall? Isn't that just for some people? Well, in the words of Nelson Mandela, I never lost hope that this great transformation would occur. It's always seemed impossible until it's done. Great transformation, this great transformation. Isn't this our hope this morning? Think about this. Isn't it our hope that we transform in a number of ways in our lives? We think about our money. We hope that as we invest a little bit of money, that it transforms into a lot of money, don't we? We hope that as we put a little bit of effort into sports or weight training, I've yet to do a whole lot of that myself, but we put a little bit of effort in and then we transform to being better players in a specific sport, or we become in better shape or more muscular. We hope to transform. This is the reason why Christians want to follow Jesus, because somewhere in each of us, we desire this transformation, and we believe this happens in a spiritual way as well. We want to transform. And I think we're here today to hopefully, we want to say, I don't know where I'm at this morning, but I think I want to hear from God because I want to transform in my life. I want to continue to grow and be an apprentice of Jesus. We want freedom in our lives. You see, Jesus told us these very profound words in the book of John, in the Bible, in the New Testament. He said, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. If the Son of God, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the one who came and lived and died and rose again, if he's the one who opens that prison door and lets you go free, trust me, you are free indeed. There's hope for transformation written all over this verse. Now, there's two ways to kind of take this. When Jesus says, if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Hear this, there's two ways to take that. Perhaps there's a point in your life when you go, I want to accept the freedom that Jesus is offering, and I want to turn from what we call sin. It's everything that is, it's all the brokenness in us, the brokenness that we cause, all the bad things. We want to turn from that, and we want to start walking towards Jesus and in him. We say we are a Christian and that we walk in freedom. He has given us freedom over our sin. He's paid the price. That's one way we can look at it. But the second way to look at it, and I think this is just as important for us, is to now continue to walk in that freedom. It's not necessarily just a momentary place, although it is, you know, the point where we're justified, absolutely. That is freedom. But I think Jesus is also very, very interested in us walking in that freedom as well. For Nelson Mandela, it would be kind of weird and extremely sad if he was set free, you know, in that day in 1990, only to maybe take 10 steps and then walk back the 10 steps to go back into his cell, close the door, and put the shackles back on. You're like, I don't get it. You have the chance to walk in freedom. Why would you walk back and to be in prison? But it's similar for us who are maybe followers of Jesus this morning, that we have been set free from the Son, but that we would not choose to walk in freedom. And so what we're going to be doing is we're going to take the assumption that not all of us are walking in full freedom today, and that this 12-week series is not just for a select group of people, but it's actually for all of us. And that we want to say, Jesus, we want freedom. We all want freedom. And so it's the series, Freedom, the Joy of a Heart Set Free by Jesus. This isn't for just a select few who are going through really crappy stuff. This is actually for all of us in some way. And that we want to learn what it looks like to have a joy, the heart that is set free by Jesus. Would you join me as we pray this morning? And so, Father, as we see a new season upon us, and as we are here this morning, I want to pray, Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you speak to us as we need to be listening to you? We want your words this morning. We want to come honestly before you this morning to say we don't have it all together, and we need you. So would you speak to us in these moments this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to tell you a quick story. It's about a guy by the name of Al. When I was a pastor for a little while in South Surrey at a church there, this gentleman came in one day, and as before the service started, I would go out and say hi to people and talk to them, and I noticed this guy sat in the very back of the church. We had chairs all the way back, and then we had risers against the wall. He was in the back row of the riser. He could not be further from the front of the church. In his mid-60s, Al was there, and I went up to say hi to him, and he told me that it was the first time in a long, long time that he had, in his words, darkened the doors of a church to come in. And I said hi to him, welcomed him, said I was glad that he was there, and he could just be who he was, and it was great that he was at church. Well, he came back the next day, or sorry, the next day, the next week. And he came back the next week after that. And after about 3-4 weeks, as Al and I started to talk, he started to open up his life a little bit to me. Again, in his mid-60s, he said, Jeff, he said, I just want to let you know, I'm an alcoholic, but I have not had a drink in 39 years. And he said, my 40th birthday is coming up soon. And my first reaction to think about Al, in my head, I didn't say it to him, but in my head, I'm like, Al, you've been sober now for 39 years. I think it's safe to say you're not an alcoholic anymore. But Al continued to come, and he continued to tell me about his AA meetings that he went to every single week. And he told me that he was being mentored by someone, and he had the privilege of mentoring someone who was sober for less years than him. But he said it was his community and his vulnerability that kept him moving forward, of keeping him transforming over time. He wasn't arrogant. He didn't show off his scars, so to speak. He didn't stand up and shout that he was an alcoholic. He just was honest. And he continued to come to church. And over the weeks, it was so cool to see Al, who is in the back row of the riser, that as he started sharing even with a few more people and more, and that as he felt more comfortable at church, he slowly edged his way forward. And then he'd make it to the back row of the chairs, and then 3 rows in. And then before long, within that year, he sat in the very front row of the church. And once he got there, he never left it. It was awesome. And then for Al, he invited me to his 40th birthday cake ceremony for AA. And I just got to tell you, it was a beautiful sight. There wasn't a lot of pomp and circumstance, but there was a celebration of a community that freely admitted they were broken to a person who had been sober now for 40 years. Nelson Mandela, I had never lost hope that this great transformation would occur. It always seems impossible until it's done. I realized that over these 40 years, Al was being transformed. There was a moment where, yes, he stopped drinking, but then he continued to walk in that transformation of his freedom. So I want to ask us this morning, as we begin this series, do you see Al in you? Perhaps it's through alcohol, but perhaps it's through something else. If we were actually to get really honest, it would be probably kind of weird over coffee to be like, hey, let me just bare my soul with you this morning, right? More it's just like how a summer, this and that, we're getting connected and stuff. But if we were actually truly honest with one another this morning, where do you see Al in you? Pastor John Ortberg, in his book, Steps, he says this. He says, the people who met him, meaning Jesus, were a needy bunch. Lepers and tax collectors and prostitutes and adulterers and pagans, the unclean and the impure and doubters and deniers. Religion, wealth, status, health, and beauty often get in the way because they diminish our sense of desperation. How many of us here are desperate for change and transformation from Jesus? Or how many of us think, I've got it all together? I love this because John Ortberg then said this. He said, it's been said that AA got the 12 steps from the church, which it did, and now the church needs them back. I love that. Now the church needs them back. So what we're going to be doing, I wanted to set the table for us here, is that for the next 12 weeks, we are going to be going through this journey together of bringing the 12 steps into church. They were started by a Christian, and we're redeeming them, we're taking them out, saying that it's been so good that it's been used, but that we're going to walk through it as a church to hopefully find freedom in our lives. All of this will be deep in Scripture. It will be centered on Jesus, and we hope that community will be a common thread through all of this. Here's my big ask. It's for the next 12 weeks, I want to challenge you and encourage you to be a part of this process. I want to encourage you to be part of this process. I want to invite each of us to be vulnerable with ourselves, with God. And as I'm going to ask in a little bit here, I'm going to be asking you to be so bold as to be vulnerable with someone, at least one other person, this series. I hope that through the next 12 weeks that we would all taste freedom in a new way that we haven't before. Next Sunday is going to be week one. We're combining two of the weeks to get to Advent. It's crazy that Advent is our next series after this. But we're going to take 12 steps, put them into 11 weeks, and we're going to walk through each of the steps of AA, like I said, deeply rooted in Scripture and Christ-centered. I think here's a great way for us to think about this in response. As I bring up all of this, there may be two ways you're thinking right now. So number one is like, Jeff, I hear you. As soon as you said freedom, I know exactly in my life where this is. I can tell you right now, this is what I need in my life, and this is the spot that it is, and I need to address this. And maybe it's about time that I do. For others of you this morning, maybe you're thinking, I don't really know. I think actually when I think about things, I'm okay. Listen, well, I've got a few rough edges, don't we all? And this is just how the good Lord has made me, right? To which I would say, maybe perhaps you need some help in seeing it in you. To which maybe later today you can ask your roommate. Maybe you can ask a spouse or a child or a close friend. What would you say in my life that I need freedom from in some way? They might actually be able to give you more help than what you want. I want to just say this too, in all of this, we're honestly not on a witch hunt here. We're not searching for the boogeyman and saying everyone's got a massive issue, let's just pinpoint it and corner you until we get it out of you. It's not like that at all. As I said at the beginning, we are hoping that Jesus can lead us into freedom in an area of our lives. Maybe it is a massive one that, again, you know right away, but maybe it's something more subtle. Maybe it's something that is there, but we need to ask Jesus to smooth the rough edges out for us and to find freedom from. Here are some questions you can ask yourself if you're really searching your brain right now and you don't know. By the way, I was going to say, there's a third group here this morning, and you're just like, when are the donuts? And I get it. I get it. It's like, this is too much for me. I just want donuts and iced coffee. It's coming. This is not mandatory, but this is an invitation to take. Here's some questions you can ask yourself. If you want to ask, like, what are you looking for? What does this look like? Where are you experiencing a powerlessness today? Where are you struggling to forgive someone? Where do you feel stuck this morning that you can't seem to get over something? Jesus tells us, if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. I can't help but prepare for this today and also look at my own life. And I'm not going to get into everything today over the years, but I realize that I'm now a husband of 27 years, a father of 21 years, a pastor of 26 years. And when you start adding up, that's a lot of years, and I'm just starting to feel a bit old. But as I realize that as I'm getting older, as Bono once said, he's like, the more I know, the less I understand. I'm like, man, I feel that sentiment big time. And in fact, I'd love to say that maybe in some ways I'm further along in my transformation that I really actually have to admit that I am. I've been realizing in my last season of life, I've been impatient more than I feel like I ever have. And you're like, wow, that's kind of small, Jeff. But it comes out in different ways of just like, you know, a little temper tantrum here and there or a frustration that things aren't the way they are as fast as I want them to be. But I feel like it affects me. There's this pride that sometimes shows up for me that I'm like, wow, I need to learn and find freedom from. And there's fears and anxieties that confront me with somewhat regularity. And I realize I'm not fully transformed. I'm being transformed, but I'm not there yet. I believe we all have things because we are not static people. We're not one and done. We change, we ebb and flow. We go through seasons of life that are amazing, but also hard, and we go through challenges and brokenness of ourselves too. But maybe we're not where we think we are. I want to invite us, if you've got your Bible, to turn to the book of Luke. And you know this by now, too. Every week we put our scripture on the screen. So if you didn't bring your Bible, it is okay. We're going to have the scripture there. But I think it's good to look through our Bibles and to see things as well. So I'm going to read from Luke chapter 18. Luke is the third book in the New Testament. You've got Matthew, Mark, and then Luke. It's an accounting of Jesus' life. And Jesus is actually talking to someone here. And the Bible only calls him a rich young ruler. He doesn't have a name in here. He's just known as a figure who's the rich young ruler. And in Luke 18, verse 18, it says this. A certain ruler came up to Jesus, basically. He asked him this. He said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. "All of these I've kept since I was a boy. My track record is impeccable, Jesus. My life is all together. Thank you very much." If this kind of person walked into Yorkson today, we might not see them for everything they are, but they probably own a really nice vehicle. I could say a Cybertruck, but that's people are on the edge on that one. They don't know if it's a really nice vehicle or not. So I'm not going to use that one, but it's just say it's a really nice car where you kind of take a second glance at it. The guy would be well-dressed, probably not quite a three-piece suit, but a great dresser. Think like Aritzia for guys. I don't know. Seems like that's a step up. And they've got really nice clothes, but for I didn't know a guy equivalent, so I just said that. He'd probably be in his late 20s. He just has a new startup company that is doing amazing, and he knows it. He also may have started serving on maybe the welcome team, and you just can't help but notice his perfect teeth when he smiles. And after all of this, he even loves my sermons and says amen a lot. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. But you see, this person who seems to have it all together, Jesus comes to him, and he knows something about this guy that is below the surface. No one can see it, but Jesus knows it. Jesus knows that there's something that is keeping this man from walking in freedom. And in this story, Jesus is acting actually like a good doctor who's getting a proper diagnosis of this man's soul, that there's a problem here. You see, we all need a good doctor in our lives. The other day, I'm not kidding, I had a nasty sliver in my hand. And I was ready to go to the doctor, but I first called on my resident assistant, my doctor, Michelle, my wife, to take a look at my hand. You see, at times I kind of forgot about the sliver that was there, but all of a sudden I'd press on something, and I was like, ah, that hurts so much. And so I finally was like, "Michelle, can you look at my hand?" I cried a little bit, yes. Through the tears, she helped me. And she looked at it under the lights. You know, we've got our kitchen lights on. I put it under there. I'm like, "How bad is it? I don't want to look." And she just got a pin and a tweezers, and she just, boop, she just pulled it right out. Now, Michelle is a good doctor to me, doctor type to me. See, she could have said to me, "Jeff, you're fine. Honestly, you're fine. You're just being a big baby." I wouldn't put a pastor to say that to me. But she could just say, you just got to suck it up and deal with it. But thankfully, Michelle, the good doctor to me, looked at my hand and found the area that was a problem for me to keep me from enjoying the full freedom of my hand pain-free. And she did something about it. See, Jesus could have said to this guy, "Peace to you and be well, rich young ruler, just go off in your merry way and just try to remember to shave the edges off a little bit." Jesus says to him something very different. He says, "There's an issue with you, and we need to look at it." Jesus saw in him that there was a selfishness growing in him and a problem with the money and the wealth that he had. In the book, You Are What You Love, James K.A. Smith says something so pointed. He says this. He says, "We, collectively, are not just brains on a stick. We are desiring creatures who are defined by what we worship. We are defined by what or who we worship. You see, God cares deeply about what you worship this morning. And God knows that when you and I worship something that is not Him, like money for the rich young ruler or something else in our lives, that we are experiencing a brokenness in our soul. We are experiencing actually getting into a prison and closing the door because we're not walking how God wants us to walk. Jesus says to this man in verse 22, He says, you still lack one thing. You've done all this, that's great, but you still lack one thing. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come, follow me. See, this is a test for Jesus to the rich young ruler. By the way, this is not a universal verse. There are some verses that we can say, like, God takes care of us, God is close to us. This is not a universal verse to all of us to say, go and sell your stuff, all of it, like, cash out your RSP, everything. Give it away and then come and follow Jesus. We're not saying that, all right? God also tells us to be wise stewards with our money. This is a contextual verse here. But Jesus is putting him to the test. What is more important to you, rich young ruler? Is it your stuff or is it me? What do you worship? What actually has your heart? When I read Bible stories and I hear of good endings, I really want this one to be a good ending, I'll be honest. I really wish I read that the rich young ruler went away and sold everything, and he became a disciple of Jesus and went around and just saw much ministry take place. The honest account here is verse 23. When he, the rich young ruler, heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. That is the end of the rich young ruler's story. That is it. What kind of doctor do you want this morning? The one that's going to pat you on the back and say, all is fine? Or the doctor that is going to diagnose something within us that needs freedom in this series? This is our heart as a church, that we would all walk through this together. I will tell you, friends, if you take me up on this challenge and invitation, it's not going to be easy. There are going to be some times, probably including right away, when you're like, I don't want to do this anymore. Maybe it sounded good at the beginning, but this actually means I've got to share things. I've got to be vulnerable, and I've got to listen to others be vulnerable. Did I really sign up for this? But can I tell you that I will assure you right now that it will all be worth it. Because Jesus wants freedom. God is our good shepherd. He is a good doctor who wants freedom for us. Bill W., one of the founders of AA himself, was once speaking to an AA group, and he said this. He said, how privileged we are to understand so well the divine paradox, that strength rises from weakness, that humiliation goes before resurrection, that pain is not only the price, but the very touchdown of spiritual rebirth. Weakness, humiliation, and pain. Doesn't that sound like a wonderful trio? It is hard, but I think these things come before a great freedom. It's not easy to be vulnerable, but I think it's necessary to arrive at a place of total surrender. Maybe when you were kids, you believed that that's where the evil was in the darkness. Maybe it was under your bed and you just refused to look under your bed or in the closet. But what we want to do is not just take a little phone light, but instead a spotlight and just kind of illuminate those places, whether it's under the bed or in the closet, of going, here's my stuff, good stuff and the junk. And God, would you have all of it? Would you have all of it this fall? If you're still listening with me here and not just thinking outside, I want to tell you, here's some next steps that we can take. And we need to do this. It's not like think about this for a month, but it's something that we need to think about and act on pretty well right away. First of all, is this. No one is going to tell you, they may help you if you ask, but no one is going to tell you the place that you need to look at. No one except the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit is our a lover of our soul and an encourager and also a convictor. And so I want you to invite the Holy Spirit to come and search your hearts, to find out where that place is that needs freedom today. Maybe it's bitterness, jealousy, broken friendship. Maybe it's lust, selfishness, greed, laziness, an addiction, temper or fear, or whatever else it may be in there. Remember the questions. Where are you experiencing powerlessness? Where are we struggling to forgive? And where do I feel stuck? Here's the second next step. This is where things get kind of fun, depending on your idea of fun. I want you to ask two or three people of the same gender to walk through these next 12 weeks together. And you will set up a time, maybe it's 30 minutes, maybe it's an hour, but you'll set up a time outside of Sunday mornings. We will equip you with questions to walk through, and we will lead us all through the 12 steps together. But this can be done alone, but as I mentioned the last couple weeks here, is the bread and butter, the secret sauce is really found in doing this in community together. There's something actually very freeing about saying something out loud that you didn't really think you would tell anyone. What you share is up to you, but we want to ask that you would share with two or three people of the same gender, who will be completely willing and committed to keeping everything confidential. We don't want to blow up Facebook with like, wow, did you know that someone? It's like, no, that we're not doing that. But we're asking you to be vulnerable with two or three people of the same gender. As you form these groups, and by the way, they can be formed two ways. Number one is just by asking somebody that you already know. That is such a great way because you've already started a friendship and relationship with them. And maybe you've never talked about anything else but NFL football, which is starting kind of today. But maybe this is a chance to go a little bit deeper in a relationship. Just ask. They might say no, but just ask. If you don't know two or three other people here, but you're like, yes, Jeff, I'm in. I just need some help. I'm going to show you a way that we're going to have that as well. So we've got a QR code that is going to be up after the service. And I would just love if a bunch of you just come over and just take a picture of that or take it with your phone and just go to that website. There's a place on there to say, I want to sign up our group. We've got two or three others. There's three or four of us total, and we're going to start this group, and we're going to tell you that we're doing this. Or, I want to do this, but I don't know anybody, and I need some help joining a group. We will help you do that. Third, I want to just point you to a book that has come out actually very recently as we were preparing and planning this series. John Ortberg, who I've quoted from, is a phenomenal writer. And he wrote this book called Steps. You've seen the picture already here. This is kind of, we're taking this out of there a little bit. We're not copying his book, but there's so much insight from him as he's just this Christ-centered approach to finding freedom that if you wanted to pick up a copy, it's on Amazon. It's not that expensive, and it's just so good. In a sense, I was going to say, that's it. But I think this is a lot, isn't it? It's enough for us today. It's a lot for us to think about, and it's a lot to ask. But instead of going, I'm just going to go somewhere else for a while until Advent comes around again, would you lean in? Would you just do what, you know, maybe is not what you're thinking right now? Would you actually lean into this? If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Would you stand with me as we pray? I want to just invite you actually to close your eyes, and I want you to make just two fists with your hands, either in front of you or beside you, wherever you want. I want to take a few moments just in quiet and reflection, just a few. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us here, wherever we are at in our lives, to ask us and to show us, where is this place that I need freedom in? Maybe this is a place that you have held on to for decades. Maybe it's just been weeks or months or even less. But can I tell you, Jesus wants freedom for us. And so if you're willing, and you want to lean in, would you just take your fists and just open them? Again, maybe beside you, in front of you, whatever, but just as an acknowledgement and as a practical way to say, Jesus, I need you. And Jesus, I want you to speak into my life. I want to find freedom. Holy Spirit, you see our hearts this morning. And would you continue to woo us to you, the good doctor and the good shepherd, that your heart for us would come out more and more in these next 11 weeks together. We thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your love over all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.